Imagine sleeping in the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's iconic sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee plus 15% off your first order with code Odyssey. So head to B-O-L-L and branch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Welcome back into the Lions 24/7 podcast. I am Sean Fitz, no Tyler Donahue, as he awaits the birth of his first child. We'll give him the week off just out of the goodness of our heart. We're going to come at you with a little bit of a different look right now. We're going to bring in class of 2023 commit Lamont Payne. Lamont became Penn State's second commitment back in September in the class of 2023, a hot start for the Nittany Lions. Lamont, welcome to the show.
What's up, guys? How are you?
We're great. Thanks for joining us. Thanks for taking the time. You became Penn State's second commit back in September, started a little trend by committing to James Franklin on the 50-yard line before the whiteout. I guess we'll start there. You're kind of a trendsetter because the next week, Mega did the same thing, committing to Franklin before the Villanova game. How did that all come about? That's an interesting backstory because you never really see that. That's typically a spot where you go out, you shake his hand, you move along. It's kind of an assembly line. But how did that all come together for you?
Well, I wanted to be different than everyone else. I didn't want to have, like, you know, a normal commitment video or a normal, like, Instagram live or go live about it. I thought, you know, me and my dad thought about it. My friend Jordan Demas gave me a great idea to, like, do it to him face-to-face in person, like, you know, be kind of the first one to ever do that.
So what's that conversation like? You get out there, and I think he knew it was coming, but what was that conversation like with him, with the family? Saw you guys hugs and handshakes and all that kind of stuff. What's that moment like at the 50-yard line?
I mean, even though you guys both know it's coming, you know, still nerves are high. It's still kind of nerve wracking, but you have butterflies, stuff like that. But it was cool. You know, I get there and he's like, you ready to do this? I'm like, yeah, both agreed on it. And then just went from there.
What was the process from there? Because Wi-Fi in the stadium is terrible. Cell service in the stadium. We were just kind of waiting. We saw it happen, but we're of course not going to trample your moment or anything like that. But how did it go from the time that you committed to the time that you actually, I think it was halftime when you got the tweet out. That had to be just a little sense of purgatory for you.
Yeah, definitely the reception there is not, you know, the best. But I got the tweet out during halftime. I went to like go to concession stands, and as we go back to watch the game, my phone just buzzing. And since like the reception's not good, I can't really answer anything. So on the ride back home from after the game, I just answered everything. And I had a long road trip back home, so it gave me something to do.
And that's why we get the quotes in advance. You talked to Brian Doan a little bit before that. Take a little bit off your plate. So I guess why Penn State? What really puts you in that spot? It's still relatively early in the 2023 class. I know you've been to Penn State a bunch. I know you have a bunch of offers and everything to choose from. But when did you kind of make this decision? When did you know Penn State was the place for you? And how did it go from there?
It's kind of one of the things like, you know, why not Penn State? You know, it's a great school, amazing community. I love the diversity of the coaching staff. Seeing the whole community come together and show love is really cool for me and really important. And, you know, like I said, Penn State did all the little things right, you know, send me edits. You know, I previously changed my number from 18 to 2, and they're one of the only schools, you know, actually put the number 2. They'll call, you know, almost every day, checking up on me, checking up on the family, and just making sure I'm good.
Terry Smith gets the credit for the commitment, but I know it was a team effort there. Alan Zamitis and Kenny Sanders involved as well. Who have you talked to the most at Penn State? What are those conversations like? And really, who stuck out to you as one of or the guy that really swung you in this direction?
Honestly, it was all of them. You know, I love their staff, Coach Franklin, you know, Coach Terry. They're all cool dudes. They're all laid back. Coach Z. I really got a bomb with Coach Z and Coach Terry because they would call me and just talk about regular day things like what's going on in the world. Me and Terry watched talk like history, Black history, stuff like that. So it wasn't just always about football, which really, you know, was important for me.
And you're in line to play for Terry. I know he's got the Pittsburgh connection and everything like that. How long have you known him, and how far do you guys go back, and what kind of impact did he have on your thought process throughout the whole thing? Maybe not just looking at Penn State, but the entire recruiting process. I know he probably said, take your time, check out your options, things like that. But what kind of impact did he have on your whole approach to things?
He told me, like, don't rush anything, be patient. You know, if it's something I want to do, then they're ready for me if I'm ready for them, type of thing. He didn't try to force me into anything like that. He just let it be at that and kept it at bay. And then when I told him I was ready to make the decision, we went from there.
You guys weren't allowed to visit anywhere until June 1st. You know, how did you handle just that rush at the beginning? You know, obviously you had the offers to back it up and everything like that, but you made it up to Penn State, what, two or three times this summer? Why was that the priority? What other schools did you check out? And how did Penn State set itself apart from those other schools?
I checked out West Virginia and Pitt. And when you go to Penn State, it's like, you just get that feeling that's like, that's home. And every single time I go up there, I get a different feeling, you know, this is where I want to be. And that was just different from like other schools. Like when I went to Pitt, West Virginia, yeah, they're great programs, great facilities, but Penn State just really stood out in like their campus life, the way they handle things.
Alan Zamaitis has been with the program not even a year. He's had a pretty profound impact on the recruiting side of things. What's he like as a recruiter? Can you talk about a normal conversation with him? How does he come across to recruits? How has he sold Penn State, sold himself? And then on top of that, he played corner at Penn State, so he knows a little bit about what you're walking into.
Yeah, when I went up to the camp, he's the one that I met, and it kind of just clicked from there. I ran my 40 in front of him and Coach Franklin, and they really liked my 40 time. And then as time went on and we were able to talk to the coaches, me and him got really close. So he'll call me and just talk about basic coverages, like talk about Penn State's scheme, the way they run things, stuff I would need to know before I got there. So he gave me a little bit of ahead of the game.
You got to check out Penn State as a recruit for the first time. Any connections there growing up? I mean, have you ever been to a game before you were a recruit? Did you grow up a Penn State fan? What was kind of the background with you and Penn State?
Well, I've always seen them on TV, you know, the big upset they had against Ohio State a few years ago. That's what really drawed me to them. And then their whiteout game versus Michigan when Michigan called a timeout. That was really like really big thing for me. It was like, dang, like this school can like, you know, the atmosphere is really different there. So growing up, I always watched them, but I never really followed them like closely, nothing like that.
Okay. Talk about that camp a little bit. You came up and worked out. I believe that was one of their showcase camps in early June. Your recruitment kind of took off from there from a Penn State perspective, because obviously a lot of guys got offers during the pandemic, but some of those guys, they had to see work out. They had to get on campus and get in front of the coaches. What was the change in your recruitment after that? And did they just start coming harder? Was it something where it just ramped up and went to a new level?
They said my camp was very impressive. My 40 time was very impressive for my size and like the type of build I am. And while we were doing camp, during one-on-ones, you know, just regular one-on-ones, Coach Franklin actually called me out against their 22 commit, Caden Saunders, you know, a very talented player, great player. And, you know, I ended up winning the rep. And it was kind of after that, everything just took off and they've been pursuing me ever since.
Have you talked to Caden since then? Because he doesn't take losing so kindly.
Oh yeah, no. I every single time I've been up there, you know, I'll see him. We'll talk, have a little small talk. It's really cool.
That's an interesting dynamic, because usually the classes are pretty separated. But the way that Penn State's 22 classes come together, obviously 26 commits, that's a lot of guys. And then the 23 has started rolling kind of earlier than expected, because you know, you can just shift your focus to 23. So how close are the 23 commits, the 22 commits, and you know, I guess, do you guys see yourself meshing together pretty well?
As of right now, like when I committed, I texted Alex, you know, the first Penn State commit of the 23 class. And me, him, and Mega always talk about like recruits we want to get, people, stuff like that. And Caden, I always see him, like, I don't talk to him over social media. Like, we'll like each other's posts, mutual, stuff like that. We don't talk directly unless like we're in person. Ken Talley, you know, when I see all those dudes in person, you know, they always show love and don't really like just treat me like another recruit. They treat me like I'm one of their own 22 commits.
Is there an example that you follow from those guys in terms of how they've handled the situation? Because Penn State, their class of 2021 kind of took a step back. Class of 2022, so big in peer recruiting, especially starting in the state of Pennsylvania. Is there anybody that you've kind of followed and you want to kind of model how you go through this process after?
Not really. They just like 22 classes really showed like Penn State could really go far with the weapons and the way they run things. Like it could be a big thing for Penn State. So the way Caden, you know, recruited other players is something I'm trying to do for the 23 class.
Coming to play corner for Penn State, obviously a really good year for Penn State secondary, you know, especially Tariq Castro-Fields, Joey Porter are doing some special things there. Have you watched that? I guess you've probably watched all the games. What have you thought of the secondary so far? Does it make you feel better about your decision?
I personally think it's the best secondary in college football. You know, Castro-Fields, Joey Porter, Taquan Brisker, Taquan Hardy, all those guys, you know, they make big plays when it's time to make plays. So, and they're older guys, so knowing that they're going to have a young defensive team is really going to help and impact it.
Three Pittsburgh guys in that secondary. You just mentioned all of them. What's the impact of seeing guys from your background that are, you know, having success at Penn State? Because, you know, it's kind of been kind of up and down with Penn State and Western Pennsylvania, but it seems like they're moving back in that direction. So how have you followed those guys, and how did that make you feel a little bit more comfortable with your path?
Well, I knew Jerry Porter and Jaquan Brisker before they went to Penn State, you know, through my trainer, Dwayne Brown. Jaquan Brisker went through him, Jerry Porter went through him. So seeing those guys before Penn State and the development they had, and then now seeing that Penn State and what Penn State has done for them is really, really cool and really important.
Dwayne has really taken over in Western Pennsylvania, hasn't he?
Yep, he has.
Yeah, they do a phenomenal job out there. And going from that, I mean, you've seen what those guys have done. You've seen that Penn State has kind of made an effort in Western Pennsylvania with yourself and some other 2023 prospects. What's the chatter out there when you guys get together, when you guys train and things like that? I know Pitt's having a good year as well, but what's the chatter out there amongst Pittsburgh prospects talking about Penn State?
Every Pittsburgh prospect always asks me, like, why Penn State? Why I choose? And, you know, like, all I really can say is, like, it's just home up there. There's not really much more you can say. If you've been up there, like I said in my tweet, if you've been up there and you're, like, you've been to the whiteout and you're a recruit, I don't know what you're really waiting for. You should just make the move.
You seem like you guys are united on that pitch. You mentioned Mega and Alex before. What have you guys been talking about in terms of scheming, getting your plan together to add to that group?
Every day we talk about who we're trying to get, people we think we can get, and we have a little surprise coming very soon. So,
ooh, that's nice. I don't want to give away a surprise, but I'm going to ask your hit list here. Is there anybody that jumps out to you, whether it's Western Pennsylvania guys, guys all over the board, and what you guys are looking to join you in the class?
Well, of course, I'm going to get my teammates Ronnie Gallagher, Anthony Speckett, Tamer Robinson. Try and get those guys. I recently met Phil Picotti, I think his last name, a linebacker. I met him, who was really cool, and we shared information. So I'm just trying to keep a close net connection with these guys.
James sat you down before the game. Our photographer, Frank Hyatt, got a really good shot of you guys sitting with James Frank on Tamir's there, Picciotti's there, Rodney's there. What's that conversation like on the sideline? I know that's typically, and it's kind of new this year, but it's kind of a product of COVID, where you used to have those meetings in offices inside, but you want to get outside, you want to keep the contact low. What's that conversation like with James Franklin before a game? And what's he like? What's he like before a game? What's he like when you see him just in a random camp or something like that? Because it seems like it's a couple different people out there.
Out of the coach perspective, you know, he's really chill and laid back, and he knows how to handle things and, you know, do things the right way. And then when you see him off the field, he's just a cool, laid back guy who's, like, just fun to be around and hang around. And, you know, what he told me, the other guys and the other recruits, is he wants to build something special with us and have us be leaders of the class.
How do you change from being, you know, buddies with Tamir and Rodney and those guys to recruiting for Penn State to try and get him to join them, to join you?
At the end of the day, my teammates, they're guys I train with every day. They help me get better. I help them get better. But when it comes to recruiting, I don't want to, like, put anything on them and try to force them to go to Penn State. But, you know, every once in a while, I got to give them a little reason why they should come to Penn State and stuff like that.
How about guys beyond Pittsburgh? Has anybody been especially receptive to your feedback, like, to, you know, pick your brain about why Penn State? And is there anybody that, you know, you've met along the process that you're like, man, I really love to play with him?
There's a corner out in New Jersey, Khalil Ali. I've really gotten close with him. He's really cool. I love his family, everything about him. Phil, I recently just getting close with. So there's a few guys I've been reaching out to. And, like, there'll be guys who I'll see who'll get an offer from Penn State, and I'll instantly DM them and tell them, just make the move already.
Yeah, it sounds like you guys are all over that one. What's happened since your recruitment? Has it slowed down? Are you more relaxed? You get a little bit of weight off your shoulders? I mean, what's it been like in the couple of weeks since you were able to commit?
I definitely feel like it's weight off your shoulders. You know, being a 16-year-old, it's a lot to handle as a 16-year-old. You're still trying to balance football, social life, school, stuff like that. But ever since I committed, you know, I feel like it was the right time, right choice, and it's definitely helped me. You know, these past games have been doing better than I have in the earlier season, so it's definitely helped.
How is the season going for you?
Oh, it's going really good.
What's different this year than last year? I mean, obviously, from your sophomore year to your junior year, they ask a lot more of you. How has it been, you know, playing both ways and doing, being a star more so than being a guy that sort of watches the older guys do things?
Cool to, like, be a role model to the younger guys, show them what to do, and kind of, like, give them feedback, because at one point I was where they were at, you know, in their shoes, trying to learn from the older guys. So knowing I'm one of the older guys, helping the younger guys, was really important and really cool to, like, see their growth and process.
So what's next for you? When are we going to see you on campus again?
My plan is to come up on campus when they play Michigan.
Very cool. And what do you think for the rest of the year? I know Penn State's had that loss against Iowa, but what do you see for the next couple of weeks?
We're going to bounce back from that, you know. We'll see Iowa and Indy, but I'll be up there a few more times before the season's over.
All right, Lamont, I think I've run out of questions. You've done a phenomenal job. As you said, 16-year-old handling these questions, rapid fire, doing a heck of a job. We really appreciate you joining us on the show. I'm sure we plan to talk to you more in the future, but thank you for your time, and we will catch up with you again soon.
Of course.
All right. Well, that's Lamont Payne. Phenomenal interview for a 16-year-old, no doubt about it. Definitely one of the guys to know in Western Pennsylvania. He's a 3-star prospect by 24/7 Sports. I do see that moving up. He's a long corner prospect that can run. He got 11.5 in the 100, and that's going to get that. He's going to bring that down. So another guy, smart, ball skills, pretty much everything you're going to want in a cornerback right now. Big fan of Lamont Payne. Also a bigger fan of him after speaking with him on the Lions 24/7 podcast. But that's going to do it for us for now. Like I said, something a little bit different. We like to throw you a curveball here once in a while, but the bye week brings us some new content ideas, and hopefully we can continue to do this. For the Lions 24/7 podcast, for Tyler, who is hopefully not in the delivery room right now, and our producer, Lance Glenn, thank you for joining us. Remember to subscribe to our YouTube page, follow along on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you get your podcast. For Tyler, for Lance, this is Sean Fitz with the Lions 24/7 podcast.
I'm Mark Chapman. Welcome to the Planet Premier League podcast. Each week, Cesc Fabregas, Nader Manua, and myself talk all things Premier League.
As a player, you don't have time to talk. No. You don't have time to make a plan. You just need to deal with wave after wave after wave.
We watched Coach Carter, and he said, afterwards, the game's just about doing this for your teammates. And I remember looking around halfway through the film, and half the squad was asleep.
Planet Premier League. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.